Well, we're just gonna already go into it, bro. This is episode number two. We humans still trying to figure out our flow and all that fun stuff, but this podcast will evolve just like us as human beings. But the thing is, war looms in the world, and war looms on your mind.
Yes,
I know you want to talk about it, so just fucking dive in. I mean, this might be a little heavy for some people on the war front, but guys, you have to realize this is a part of humanity.
Yeah.
I mean, war's everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, is it primal, is whatever, but I know you specifically kind of want to talk about the Iran situation that's going on right now. So, dude, just, I mean, dive in, man.
Yeah, I think that this is a incredibly instrumental moment in U.S. history. I think this is a incredible moment in world history, and not because of the war. We've been in wars before. There's been wars throughout all of U.S. history and human history, as you discussed. But this is really like a Berlin Wall falling sort of moment, something that, you know, Titanic in terms of its place in history.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit more? On what do you mean by like Titanic or Berlin Wall of history? Like, it's something that's just going to be really written in history. Like a,
I think what you're watching right now, this moment, is really like the collapse of the Soviet Union, but for the United States.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think that we have reached we've far passed our empire's peak. We are now declining on almost every section of technology, of industry. We still are doing stuff well. Like, we have our research and development programs that are strong and stuff like that. We make great aircraft. Although, like I've talked about before, the military-industrial complex is much more expensive in the United States compared to other countries. So while our stuff is better, it costs a lot more and we can't produce as much of it.
And why does it cost more for us?
Because we have just this incestuous system of people who buy off public officials. The government writes the checks for these private companies who are allotted these contracts by the government. So, you know, that's the military-industrial complex, that's lobbies, and everything is just overpriced because it can be, because there's somebody who's going to pay for it.
So it's just purely greed.
If you got into a real war situation where things were starting to get really tight and we really actually needed these things to be produced in a like a must-have situation.
World War II kind of situation, where all the factories...
Everything, the prices would drop, because not only would manufacturing be increased, so the supply output would be higher, but the demand would be more essential. And so it might still be expensive, but overall prices come down because you're producing more. There's more demand for that supply. But the reason why I say that it's so titanic is because the U.S. is really losing this war. It's a war that we've talked about being very difficult since the Iranian Revolution in 1979 that installed the IRGC and the Ayatollah, the current leadership.
Because, I mean, a lot of people don't know, Iran before all that was really thriving.
I'm going to be real honest. It was thriving up until we sanctioned them.
Yeah.
So under the Shah, there was actually a lot of issues under the Shah. He was a very authoritarian leader.
Yeah.
That's who was there.
Dictatorship.
And we installed them. The CIA installed them.
Yeah.
So the Iranian people overthrew that government. They had to run away and go into exile. His son is now the one trying to come back, but he hasn't lived in Iran since he was like 9 years old. Mm. And that's who the U.S. is saying should be there.
I don't feel like I know my Iran history actually as well as I thought.
That's all good. That's why we're talking about it. So yeah, there was the revolution in 79. And ever since then, we've always played both sides. So in the Iran-Iraq war in the 80s, 70s and 80s. It was like a 9 or 10 year war between Iran and Iraq. And throughout that time, we played both sides. So when Saddam was fighting the Ayatollah, we would give the Ayatollah weapons and information. And then when they started to gain the upper hand over Saddam in Iraq, we gave Iraq things like chemical weapons.
But wouldn't you say that's most big countries in this world? Like, every country plays both sides now. Like, I mean, would you say, like, China or UK?
I don't think... No, this is a very particular instance where the U.S. was very, very... poignant in playing both sides. I think that it has happened.
Blatant.
Yes. Usually the U.S. is in the position of the empire where they're doing extraterritorial wars. Mm-hmm. We are usually invading or we're overthrowing a specific government. We're not usually sitting back, and we will cause wars and cause people to fight. But the playing both sides the way that they did in this war was unbelievable. The reason why Iran has ballistic weapons, ballistic missiles, is because the CIA gave them ballistic missiles. They gave them all of the blueprints and everything they needed. The same guy, the same CIA agent who gave those blueprints and gave that information to Iran, came out on CNN like a year ago and was talking about how we needed to destroy Iran's ballistic missile program, which is just hilarious. The guy who gave it to him 30 years ago is now saying they can't have them.
So, okay. I go because in all honesty, this it sounds like fucking madness. It doesn't really sound like anyone knows what's going on. Why do you think we're doing that? Do you think it's coming from the top, or do you think it's somewhere along the line of chain of command, just people that are like, I think we should just do this?
Just give...
Yeah.
Like, give play both sides is what you're talking about?
Yeah. Do you really think that's coming all the way from the top, or you think it's just somewhere in the department that is just like...
No, it is foreign policy. We do not want a strong Iran. We did not want a strong Iraq. Having those countries at war with each other made Iraq very easy to invade.
Why don't we want a strong Iran or Iraq before that war? I'm saying before we start giving them all that,
because
why?
If you have anybody in that territory in the Middle East who has a regional power... control over the regional power dynamic, they're going to be able to control the world's oil supply.
So it's better to back down to oil. Huh?
So it's better to have the Saudis, like, so the Sunnis and the Shia, it's better to have them fighting, right? So you have the Saudis and then you have some of like the Turkish groups, and then you have Israel, Israel is always a constant issue in the region, territorial wise. You know, they're stealing land from Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, obviously, they're in Gaza.
There's a lot. As soon as you bring up... It's so crazy how one country could be so controversial.
Yes.
As soon as you bring up Israel, it's like you have extreme support or extreme hate.
Yes. So just from a neutral standpoint, though,
yes,
we use them as our forward operating base.
Oh,
right?
100%.
Right? So we want Israel to be the strongest, and we want these other countries to be weaker... And under our control, like a lot of the Gulf states are, they're expecting protection by our missile and air defense systems and attacking Iran to prevent them from getting hurt. And that illusion has been destroyed now because we could not protect them. We can't even protect ourselves. I know you've heard this, but 3 Americans have died. 2 were confirmed dead. 1's missing in action after the ballistic missile strike. And
I mean, hearts go out to the families.
And I have... I know some people. I'm in a Discord server with some Air Force guys, and they were talking about how it's the count is probably much, much higher. A barracks got hit.
Absolutely. I mean, especially you got to look at the administration we're under right now. Are they going to admit if there was a dozen U.S. soldiers that got killed?
No, they're lying. They're lying through their teeth.
I remember my battalion was put on standby when the whole evacuation from Afghanistan was happening. Like, we were one of the battalions that were up to maybe go.
Mm-hmm.
But who was it? Was it 2-7 that ended up going? It was like 2-5. It was Camp Pendleton boys.
Are they the ones that got hit?
Yeah. But I even remember when that happened. I mean, the numbers were off. It was like a couple, and then we find out it was like a dozen Marines that ended up getting hit.
Yeah.
I mean,
another foreign policy disaster.
That was rough. I mean, that was...
And it's crazy because Iran is such a worse situation. Afghanistan was so minor, and that was a disaster.
More or less, dude, and we were all talking about it, too, just the leaving of all the equipment. We handed it to them on bows, man.
And we wanted them to have it.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's like, and they were playing off like, oh no, it just we just had to leave them.
Well, there is the part of it where it is old equipment. It's not
sure.
It's not fiscally worth bringing it back, but you could have destroyed it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Why not just destroy it instead of allowing it to be used
you
now?
You could have left them with piles of burnt garbage.
It's old equipment, but that shit can still kill.
Yeah. Like, oh no, they have Black Hawk helicopters.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
Yeah.
You slap a PKM in the door of a Black Hawk.
Here's the thing. When you leave all those weapons, the people who come in and take over have a new issue on their hands. And it works for the Taliban now, but what ends up happening is those weapons get sold off to different groups. Mm-hmm. There's somebody in Afghanistan who has a problem with the Taliban. Right.
Yep.
They're going to be armed. The Taliban often go and mess with Pakistan, which can further our foreign policy. So they obviously left it for a reason. And yet those boys dying is a tragedy. Yeah. More men have died now in the Iran conflict than died during the Afghanistan pullout.
Yeah.
I always go because the
Marine in me understands when you sign the contract, you know what you're signing up for and you know.
But that's it's almost like dereliction of duty by officers.
But it's more of when it's through just a pointless, stupid war, then every human life is just like, fuck, this was just pointless. Why?
Dude, those people falling off of the C-130s.
That was
the people that we made like negotiators and translators and all the people that worked with us. And then we just left them there and they were just going to get, I mean, maybe killed, but you know, who knows?
In moments like that,
the enemy is coming in.
Breakdown of humanity.
It's like Saigon, dude. It was like helicopters on top of Saigon. Bro. It's just unreal.
It's insane. And you see the depravity of humanity in those moments. I mean, think about it. Hugging a C-130. How desperate would you have been?
It's not the depravity of humanity.
What would you say it is?
Humanity.
That is
the rawest humanity. That is survival. That is
You're right.
It is you versus everybody else. Yeah. Because that's the situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's 100% right.
That's the scary thing, is that's really what we are.
Should we be scared of that? Or, I mean,
you embrace it, and then you have to control it. But
I would say control is an unnatural thing. Right?
No, you have to control it.
But
you have to, or you would just be murdering everybody and just going
crazy. Oh, you're talking about is the individual control yours?
Yes.
Okay. I thought you were talking about like control, the whole thing.
No, yeah.
I was like, as
an individual, you control, you let those things, because those things are important and useful. You use them in the ways that you need to, but then you also have to shut it down.
No, 100%. I mean, it's a weird thing, dude. I mean, humanity is a vast thing. I mean, we could talk about it until we fucking die. Because, I mean, does anyone truly understand humanity? No. I mean, there's always theories. I mean, we don't even understand human consciousness.
Yeah.
Theories. Everything is fucking theories.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes to like this, because I can't tell you what's going on in your brain, just like you can't tell me what's going on in my brain.
Yeah.
Right there, we have an unknown when it comes to each fucking individual.
Yeah. So just trying to get back to what we were talking about a little bit. So right now, the situation has unraveled extremely escalatorily, like we're walking up the escalation ladder in this war that we need to walk away from. The Strait of Hormuz has been closed for quite some time, and the higher up foreign policy thinkers, the decision makers, what they're doing is they're trying to put an immense amount of pressure on China right now. China is our real next adversary.
The U.S.
recognizes that. I don't think that they're really an adversary. I think you would trade with them, but I think that they're doing things at such a culturally at a fundamental level, a fundamentally different level than what we're doing in the United States, that they are going to surpass us.
They haven't already.
Yeah. But you know what I mean. And I think that so when I say this is like the Berlin Wall falling, is you are watching the U.S. try to do what the Soviet Union did against the United States during like the space race. Mm. The US is trying to compete with AI. China is beating us with their AI. and they're trying to reach like a singularity moment with their AI so that your AI is forever better than everybody else's and it keeps developing. Right? So, but here's the thing is if we lose that race, China is going to be multitudes further ahead than us and it will just destroy us. So there's that whole race. That's why all these data centers and everything are getting put up.
Do you think then we would, I mean, if we knew they're coming closer to that, like an actual just conventional war?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I think we're, I've said this multiple times. I think we're already in World War III. I think we have a isolated war happening in Europe, which is probably going to spread the way that the war is being fought right now. That war is escalating. I was going to talk
about Ukraine.
Yeah, I was going to talk about Ukraine also today. I think that you will definitely see an escalation in with the war in Iran. I think we will eventually try to send some boots on the ground in there. I don't know if they're going to be U.S. boots or Kurdish or what we're going to try to do, but we basically created a situation where we cannot walk away. We cannot let Iran control the Straits of Hormuz. We cannot, we want to control the Straits of Hormuz. The thing is, we can't let Iran be letting Chinese oil out and going to the Chinese market and keeping their economy strong while the U.S. is suffering, right? And paying tolls and whatever. Iran is now has a much more dominant position in the Middle East. They're much more cocky. Yeah. We've really fucked up because before we attacked them, we could have just negotiated them and economically pressured them into an oblivion, but we didn't do that.
I need zip ties for that.
It's all good. We didn't do that, right? So we decided to attack them, and now we're stuck in this conventional war that we cannot win because they have prepared for this for forever. They have support of Russia and China because what we've been doing against Russia and China, like Russia is giving them targeting data. Yeah. Those Americans that just got killed in that airbase could have been... I think the Iranians have pretty good satellites and everything now, but Russia is sharing intelligence with Iran because the U.S. is giving Ukraine targeting data to kill Russians.
No, 100%.
They're hitting their oil refineries.
We have been fucking Russia for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
NATO.
Yeah, it's part of power politics, right? It's the dynamic of the world where if you're going to have a hegemon, there is going to be countries that are put down and repressed because they're always battling for that number one spot, right? So you're absolutely right. And so this is such a pinnacle moment in U.S. history because I think we're beginning to see is the major downturn. We are now losing this war. The illusion of our military is now really beginning to wear off. Iran has really...
I don't know what happened as far as the illusion of our military. Because, I mean, dude...
In the 1980s, we were invincible.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, I would even say during my 4 years, dude, watching some of our stuff, I was like, fuck.
Well, here's the thing.
Let us off the leash, bro. Well, here's the thing.
It's not the fact that we don't have capabilities. We have immense capabilities. We have an immense air force. We have the ability to put that air force anywhere around the world. The issue is all of our adversaries have now caught up.
Yeah.
That's the problem. So you can have B-2s that can't be seen by radars. That's really cool. That's a really cool thing. China, Iran, and Russia all have ballistic and cruise missile capabilities to hit those planes before they take off on the ground.
Dude, I have to. I mean, in being honest, I guess you know. I mean, I've always considered China near peer adversaries.
Yeah.
But now, really thinking about it, because we're all, they're all pretty on the same level as actually military wise.
And let me be perfectly clear. The U.S. is far exceeding most of these, Russia's military in terms of like satellite telecommunications. The U.S. crushes Russia.
Yeah.
In terms of our propaganda, we crush all of these places.
For my fellow infantry guys, I'm not no fucking salt dog. I didn't see combat. I fucking trained all my 4 years. And drink a lot of drinks. I would always be like, dude, there is just something though, like even during my time where dude, the guys I serve, and I go, maybe the Chinese, you know, infantry squad is very similar. I never trained with any Chinese guys, nor have I ever talked to a Chinese infantryman.
Yeah.
But like, there is this spirit in the American infantry, even though now infantry is becoming obsolete. See, now as I'm even talking, I'm realizing, dude, it's not going to even be relied on that anymore. Like, the spirit and drive of a fucking infantry battalion of just wanting to go in and fuck shit up.
Well, like, infantry will be important. Here's the thing is you got to remember
waves.
Well, no, you got to remember how war works.
If of the holding if, ground,
if,
yes.
It, well, no, but if the war is just think about how a war progresses.
Right.
When the war starts, yeah, there's going to be drones everywhere. If you have an isolated, protracted conflict like in Ukraine, where both sides have super stable logistics and they can get all the drones they need to the front line, and the drone operators are in relative safety in the back, maybe they're getting targeted by bombs and missile strikes or whatever, but they can hold the front line with those drones. Yeah, infantry becomes pretty useless. You're holding positions. Yeah. Now, you go to war with China. What's the first thing you hit in China?
As far as like their cities or
what
the
is
beach?
The when you launch your missiles, you're off the coast, you right. just started a war with China. What is the first thing you target with those Tomahawk military. Cruise missiles?
Any military targets, military bases.
I'm going to go ahead and say AI data centers.
Ooh.
And then all of your drones stop working. You target drone manufacturing. You only have the drones that are out.
Right.
And then once those are done,
actual control.
And then once those are done, your logistics aren't coming in.
I mean, but what so about like just fucking making like, I mean, you have but like that's, the DJI drones, chock full of those up with C4.
No. But what I'm saying is those come from a place. Those right. have to be brought to the front. There's only so many.
What about Russia? Wouldn't Russia just start supplying China? Like as soon as that started happening, would Russia think that, just start
yes, but pumping? Also you can strike Russia.
True. I mean, because that's the thing. That's World War status. You're going in
but that's,
everywhere.
But we're already at war in the Middle East. We're already at war in Europe.
Do we have that many to be able to take out all their fucking data
centers? This is the problem. And this is what we're talking about when we're talking about Iran and how exposing this war is to what massive weaknesses the U.S. has. Our biggest weakness is our supply chain.
Right.
Our ability to produce is so minuscule. Our ability to produce a specific high quality good is high. We have really good factories, but we don't have the ability to put out wartime quantity. Yeah. And so this is a major issue. And we're seeing that with the missiles. We depleted our standoff cruise missile and ballistic missile reserves. We're using ATACMs for HIMARS from Kuwait now, which, by the way, just got targeted by Iranian drones and ballistic missiles. I'm pretty sure some Americans died in that as well. Hit the ATACMS launcher. You can see it detonating and everything. It's on my Twitter and stuff. But
plug your Twitter, dude.
Yeah.
No, like I mean, yeah. What type?
Just Aiden on Twitter. A Y.
Ah, A Y.
D E N. Yeah. Old school.
And then.
It's on X. Yeah. Ooh, I don't know why there's a girl. That's not my.
Is that you, buddy?
It's the.
Is that how you get people to follow thirst traps?
It's the first. It was the first one. Go up. You see that? Click that one. Ship's heading into.
Right here?
Yeah, those are all my posts right there. But yeah, so now go to my profile, and then go down.
So it's at Squashton. So that'd be at S Q U A T S O N S.
Post.
Guys, definitely go check it out. If you're always trying to this
why,
one.
Why are my posts not in
order?
Why are you? Is
I mean, it
2025?
It might be from just I don't know. Maybe this one maybe was shared the most. I mean, you have like 6.4 million on it.
Yeah.
Like
why doesn't my why isn't it in chronological order here? Weird.
I do not know.
Go back.
But let's yeah. Maybe if
go,
I.
Yeah, go back and I'm just confused as to why this is not. Huh. Well, that's weird. That must just be your computer.
It is what it is, but definitely go check it out if you ever are actually, you know, you're fascinated in just wars going around the world to stay updated.
Yeah.
I'd say this is your man right here. Yeah. This is your guy.
And so we have this massive missile issue. Missile interceptor, missile, like offensive and defensive missiles. We cannot produce enough of these things. And so a war with China is looking impossible. It's just like a war with Russia
That's why we kind of want to bait them into Taiwan.
That's why we want to bait them into Ukraine. That's why we want to bait them into fighting Israel.
They have fucking North Korea going to Ukraine. They're just going to send fucking...
No, I'm saying the Russians.
Oh.
We're overextending all of these nations. That's what our goal is without actually fighting them.
No, so exactly what you said. Yeah.
So Ukraine is the same. Israel is the same with Iran, and then Taiwan is the same with China. I don't know if it's going to be so much Taiwan because Taiwan is super indefensible. It's crazy how bad it is, and the population is actually pretty pro-Chinese. It's like 55% now pro-reunification with China.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to fight that if the people want to go to.
Yeah, exactly. Which can change when a war starts or whatever, but the idea is that there wouldn't even be a war. You would just surround them with ships, and then if the U.S. wants to run your blockade and start a war, that's like on them, and that's a crazy thing to do. If China starts the war, the U.S. could react. So I don't think it's so much going to be Taiwan. I think it's going to be more Japan and the Philippines.
You think China and Japan will go? I mean, they have a history of, you know, going at it.
Well, Japan is not a free place. Japan is a U.S. occupied territory. Hmm. Been that way for 80 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. We control their politics. We have military bases that are instrumental to our global strategic plan.
Yep.
They just got rid of their defense forces.
I spent time in Okinawa doing jungle warfare training, and I will say, fuck that island.
Yeah. And Japan...
Love the people, but fuck the climate.
Japan just got rid of their defense forces. You know how we had forced them to only have defensive capabilities in their military?
Yeah, so what's their standing military?
They can now have offensive weapon capabilities.
Oh, hell yeah.
Well, which means that they're going to be fighting China, so...
Well, I mean,
or North Korea.
More of saying hell yeah, because I mean, I feel like as a country having just like that kind of thing.
But the
I'd be so pissed. I'd be like, dude.
The only reason we allowed them to do it though is because we want to use them as fodder.
Everything's fodder now, dude. I mean, but that's the thing. So like, for me, I mean, because me and you talk about it, and I have future plans that I mean, I hope I answer my personal questions, or I mean, I die trying. But that's personal notes. I'd go, I don't know, dude. They're for me, I guess I got the instincts that, you know, like I want to go fight every once in a while, dude. Slap a bulletproof vest on me again, dude. Get my fucking flak. And as I said, I should say flak instead of bulletproof vest, I guess. But dude, I'm kind of down, dude. Operating, dude. It's almost like a drug, dude. Even though I didn't see combat, I could only imagine then how much more of a drug it is to actually survive through that. And then some guys, I mean, they do that their whole life. I mean, they're never able to integrate back into civilian life.
Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be something wild to that. That, I mean, it draws people. I mean, fucking good on... I'd say good on the fucking Taliban for being motherfuckers to run at U.S. fucking forces and nothing but fucking garments with an AK-47.
Yep.
I mean, that takes a different breed of human being to want to do that. Even religious nut. I don't care. Like, that's fucking wild.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think there's a draw, and maybe it is just how humanity dies. We just fight each other until oblivion.
That's most likely the case.
I mean, because being realistic, and this is wild. This is more of like, this podcast is not going to be for the faint of heart. Because I go, if for world peace to actually be achieved, there would probably have to be an insane genocide on religious groups. There'd have to be an insane genocide on just ideologies that just wouldn't be able to fit in a world to actually function together.
Yeah.
but I don't think anyone would ever have the stomach for it. Like, I don't know if the world could ever get to that point of actually unifying people enough to exterminate races of people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of like Nazi talk. That's crazy. But if you go break down, actually use your brain power and go, how would world peace be achieved? Would everyone sing Kumbaya? No, because you have religions out there that literally call for the death of other religions.
The only thing would be a unifying moment.
Of like aliens.
Aliens or something.
Yeah.
Or we create a god in terms of like AI.
Oh, we have an interesting
unifying moment where there is no need for like gods. Plural.
But that's the thing. But do you think, I mean, people would still hold on to that? There would never probably be a fully, even if we made an AI god, you couldn't get away.
Probably not.
Radical belief.
I think it's a human, in human nature to be counterculture.
I mean, yeah, and it's not like, I mean, talking about this stuff is not like this should be like this ick thing. It's just being honest, dude. Humanity has come to the point where it's so fucking wild that truly only way you'd get world peace is through mass killing.
Yep.
And do you think that's where we're headed?
Or just mass separation where nobody interacts.
That's true. I mean, walls around every fucking country. But even then, we have ballistic missiles that are just through the atmosphere, bro.
True.
Through that, and think of satellites. Think of how crazy. I mean, I guarantee you, we have satellites out there that have missiles on them, or some kind.
I hope not,
dude.
I hope not.
That's some sci-fi, dude. Absolutely, they keep that shit classified.
Oh, I know. Well, no, there's like chems, like kinetic energy missiles.
Oh yeah, there's definitely. We probably have shit going up there that's like. This is like for if shit goes bad.
All you
bad.
Have to do is drop a tungsten rod. You don't even have...
It
doesn't even have to be a missile. You just drop literally a tungsten rod out of a satellite and just gravity.
I just explain what a tungsten rod is for people. I mean, because it's just a...
Tungsten is giant metal. It's just very, very strong metal.
Because think of like an asteroid in a sense. It's
exactly what it is. It's just a kinetic energy weapon that hits the ground, and basically it's like it causes an earthquake in a city.
That's so wild.
Yeah.
That's so fucking wild.
Yeah, and if you have those weapons in space, which goes against the START treaty, which
you bans said Stark?
START.
Oh, dude, I thought you said Stark. I was like, no way they banned that after
it bans weapons in space. There's like no, like, you're not allowed to do like high altitude nuclear testing, and you're not supposed to weaponize space because that so greatly reduces the warning time.
See, but exactly. You think countries are abiding by that? You don't think China probably has a weapon in space?
I think that there are probably weapons in space. I think it would be really, really hard to secretly develop a space weapon like that that wouldn't be immediately called out by your enemy. And it's not because they don't want...
Disguise it as just a normal satellite.
I know, but even then, you would still... Like, the whole point of, like, the CIA is to figure out what every single, you know, thing is happening. So every single satellite that goes up, they want to know... What, even if it's some little like communication satellite,
you
like
make
is
the
this
satellite and you kill everyone that worked on it?
Is it military? I guess you would have. You would have to.
All those missing scientists.
You would have to, and then you would have to. You would have to. Yeah, it would just be really. It would be really hard to keep it from the United States would be very difficult. Because and it would be like the United States trying to keep something like that from China,
right?
Just because there would be anomalies with the satellite immediately. Uh-huh. It's rotation. You would be able to tell like its mass is wrong, its configuration isn't correct. Like, what is this? Why don't we know what this part is? Why was the
U.S. just talks to fucking Starlink? Hey, Starlink. Hey, one of your satellites is going to be used as a fucking weapon. You're not gonna know it. You tell the guys that need to know. They build it. Nice. Bang bang. They're dead. Can't get any information.
No, I agree. I just think that it would be really, really hard to hide.
I agree. I am throwing out the more dark cat. Whereas, like, I don't know. I guess if they really wanted to, probably could find a way. Maybe.
Yeah.
Like, it could be slim because you're right. Our intelligence agencies are pretty wild, and they're probably fucking everywhere.
Well, I mean, we would have satellites that would be looking at that satellite and being and going like analyzing every single aspect of it and telescopes and everything.
So, yeah, if you think we already know that, I mean, wouldn't there always be a kind of way around. That's what I'm thinking.
Here's the thing is usually, I, in my personal opinion, when it comes to things like the START Treaty, which also includes, like there's like the IMF, which is, no, not IMF. It's the, there's a treaty that specifies what kind of ballistic missiles you can use and operate with. And there's medium range ballistic missiles are not, there was a ban on them for a very long time because medium range ballistic missiles are ballistic missiles that can be nuclear capable and launched. Basically, if when you're looking at NATO and Russia, a medium range ballistic missile is able to hit all of Europe in like 3 minutes and all of Russia in 3 minutes. Or most, you know, the populated to Moscow. So that puts...
That's so wild.
It puts extreme war... It puts no warning time. Like 3 minutes. If you get an accident, like if a satellite goes, oh, we have launches, you have like a minute to get your missiles off the ground before that first strike could wipe your, in you know, your arsenal.
Yeah, next thing you know, London's being smacked.
Well, here's the thing. So say the Russian satellite malfunctions and sees a smoke plume that it recognizes as a ballistic missile launch or a series of ballistic missile launches that looks like a first strike. The people in the command center have a 1 minute time period to turn the key and get their missiles off the ground before these missiles potentially blow their missiles up. So the threat is an accident.
I see. Yeah, fuck.
So like the threat is that satellite accidentally sees that a nuclear war starts. What can happen instead is you have a treaty that bans those missiles, which we have just gotten away from, and Russia is now using medium range ballistic missiles. Is ICBMs. So you still have the capability to destroy the world, but ICBMs are not like tactical ballistic missiles that you can hide and maneuver and launch from very close. They're in Oklahoma and they're in Nebraska and they're in Montana, right? So if a satellite messes up, you have 30 minutes. You have 30 minutes to be like, what are our sources on the ground saying? Has anybody seen these inert content? It's like a space launch. Like it's really easy to see them, and then you have secondary satellites that are like confirming or denying.
Sounds so retarded, dude. That like it's like, oh, let's all make sure we give like each other proper warnings.
Well, it's like, hey, we don't want an accident to happen, so we're gonna have a telephone that cannot be cut. It's a telephone communication line from the Kremlin to the White House.
Right. With Russia. Do we have that with most countries as far as like? We have one with China?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think it's a little different now because of how everything is so just connected. Technology. Yeah. You don't. I mean, you can just do it on a cell phone. You don't really need to do it on a.
As a solar flare.
Yeah, true. But then no phones work. You don't have to worry about nukes anymore.
Then wouldn't that be kind of nice? Low key.
A full wipe? Probably not. Just because.
It'd go straight chaos.
Just
mode.
Because there's like 8 billion people on the planet and we'd all starve.
Could you imagine India?
We would all starve immediately.
Can you imagine like a place like India?
Yeah, they would starve immediately. They would die.
Cannibalism would start.
There'd be such a wild die-off in so many parts of the world that isn't in a breadbasket, and there would be so much migration to the breadbasket areas of the world.
It would just be
so like
be
the
mass chaos.
The U.S. middle,
yeah,
Midwest would be just flooded with people trying to get food.
Dude. Yeah, I mean, we're talking about more or less, I'd say, yeah, this episode's a little grim. We're talking about the grimmer sides of humanity.
I'm a grim guy.
But, dude, that's the thing. We could sit around talking about art and the beauty of it all, and I love it, but art's subjective. Art's subjective to everyone. But one thing that's not subjective is the fucking horrors of war, man.
Yep.
I mean, you just fucking... It's brutal. I was thinking it brought up a story, and this is going to be a little more of a wild story. It came from when the Marines fucking were on the border, when we were out fucking holding the southern border.
Oh yeah,
of the U.S. So like between Mexico and stuff, we were sending battalions of Marines to basically do security work and stuff like that.
It was just border reinforcement.
And dude, fucking, they were mass amounts of people trying to cross, and there was this barbed wire fence, and this is coming from a friend of mine, and he watched a fucking dude pick up like a 12-year-old girl and throw her on top of the barbed wire fence, and they used her and stepped on her to get over it. Like, they killed this girl.
Crazy.
As a stampede of people basically used it. Like, it was, yeah.
That's crazy.
That's, yeah. I mean, you look, it's, I don't know.
That's not even war.
No, that, you see, that's not even, that wasn't even war. That was just a border crossing of desperate people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wild. And it doesn't get better. And that's, and this is part of the thing is, you know, it's with the war in Iran right now, it's three soldiers have died recently, multiple other injuries.
We think that they've been set.
Yeah, and that totals out to like 16 or 17 people that have died, American soldiers that have died in this conflict. And it's only going to get more aggressive. The Iranians are only going to get more aggressive.
You think boots on the ground are going to be up soon?
Well, here's the thing is the Iranians have, we've already hit their power. We've hit some of their power plants, and the Iranians have hit desalinization plants in Kuwait.
You were talking about this.
I've been talking about this stuff for a long time, and it is coming. And I'm telling you, there is going to be a mass exodus of Arabs out of the UAE, Dubai, Bahrain, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia. If this war escalates the way I think it's going to escalate, there is not going to be water in that peninsula, and they're going to have to move.
You're
going to
start watching a lot of people die.
Well, they're just going to, they're going to flood out. And the thing is that where are they going to go? Because Europe has been taking in immigrants from Syria.
And you see what's happening in like the UK, bro.
Well, they're shutting their immigration down is because they are overwhelmed and they don't have the means anymore. And if it gets worse, it gets worse, and it's not just that aspect, and this is doomy and gloomy, but with the strait being closed, ammonium nitrate's not getting out. I don't know if anybody knows what ammonium nitrate is used for. Fertilizer. That fertilizer,
all our farmlands,
so we're gonna have low crop yields. We're gonna have a bad crop yield in a year that is already heavily a drought year because of El Nino. There's like a super El Nino too, which is good for Albuquerque. We get lots of rain,
yeah,
which is nice. All the Oregon weather comes down.
Dude, you make me feel like there's just like this massive conflict right on the brim.
It's boiling.
You might be right,
and it's boiling up all over the place. You look at like Sudan. There's an active conflict in Sudan right now. And it's about Russia. You look at Myanmar, there's an active conflict going on there, and it's about China and Russia. You look at Ukraine, there's a conflict going on right now there. North Korea and South Korea are, it's so stable that I don't know if anything's going to happen there, but that is another flashpoint that something could potentially happen because North Korea is really rising.
Yeah, dude, they're having quite a little boom, aren't they?
Yeah, well, they're not under sanctions anymore. They're not under crippling sanctions. And that's the same thing with Iran. You had mentioned earlier that Iran was this beautiful place. First off, there's a lot of misconceptions about Muslims and about the different areas of the Middle East. And this is just my opinion, but in my opinion, the Shia Muslims are much more conservative.
Yeah.
They're like the white working dads of the Muslim world. Like, so they have, I mean, all Muslims are not very like, you know, LGBTQ pro. So that's across the board.
I think people forget that. I mean, you're going to have different groups within all of this.
Yeah.
I mean, that's across the
board, right? With Muslims. But the Shia are like the ones you can do good business with. Like, they're always going to be like a handshake. You can have a conversation. They're not the ones blowing themselves up.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, those are, yeah, definitely.
You have like this, you have like the Sunni who are more like the Saudi Arab, like that's a different Muslim group and they don't get along with the Iranians.
No.
Yeah. The Shia and the Sunni do not get along. Right. So there's that conflict is always going on.
See, that's where I go. You'll always have religious.
So there's the one difference is I wouldn't mind 10,000 Shia students coming into my neighborhood.
Right.
And going to school, or in my city, going
more
to school.
Extreme ones. You'd be
I don't want Muslims from the South Sudan or Somalia or you know, Syria coming in, because these are the people that are much, much more extreme in their religious views. This is just a broad term, but there's a lot of like head chopping.
That's like a
different, and I don't mean like literally
like
head chopping
them in the cartel,
but that sort of thing where they'll cut off hands if you steal. It's
wild.
And it's not all Sunnis either. There's plenty of very decent Sunni Muslims.
Stonings. They still do stonings and stuff.
In some of the more radical areas, it's like that's more like the ISIS area. But that's where a lot of the immigrants who went to Europe came from, was like Syria, because Syria got turned over. And it wasn't all bad. I want to make this very clear.
Not every Muslim is bad. Well, most aren't.
It's
most
just
are.
Like
I'd
there's
say the majority.
It's
aren't.
Just like there's bad Americans.
Exactly. It's
but
bad
most Americans
bad Christians,
are good.
Bad Jews.
Most people are just
bad
trying.
Hindus.
Most people are just trying
they're
to live their
atheists,
life.
They're bad atheists, bro.
Exactly.
I mean, but I'd always say yes before. I mean, we're going on the group
oh,
note.
But
there
hold
is
on,
always
hold on,
more
let me
good.
Just, let me just finish this one thought, and then you
Sick,
can take
do it.
So the misconceptions with Iran. So that's one.
Yeah.
Business can be done with them. They're not trying to acquire a nuke. If they got a nuke, they would not use it on Tel Aviv. That's not what they want to do. This is a propaganda thing that's been pushed for decades and decades and decades. This is not them. That's not what they would do. That's not what anybody would do, because the second they nuke somebody, they're going to get nuked.
Yeah.
And some people are like,
mutual
destruction. Oh, it's prophecy. It's whatever. The Israelis have that prophecy. The Iranians have a prophecy like that. But most people aren't buying into that. Most people want to live their lives.
Exactly. That's why I go, there's more good in the world than bad.
The other misconception is like, women have zero rights. If you're not Muslim in Iran, you don't have to have your hair covered. People go
to
Iran.
Tourists.
People
go
all the time, and they have their hair uncovered. So it's not some, like, I think people get like Iran confused with like ISIS.
Yeah,
which is two completely different things.
I mean, we're in a day where we live in a day where everyone generalizes.
Yeah,
I mean, exactly. When you say Muslims, I mean, people are going to think more or less. And this is not but terrorists.
Yeah.
It's not to take a shot at anyone.
No, it's how we've been programmed.
And I'm speaking from the American side, dude. I have grown up in the U.S. Yes, I have been fortunate that I've lived in other countries, and I've been subjected to multiple different cultures. Yeah. That's where I can go, dude, people are just people. At the end of the day, we're all just human beings.
Yes.
I mean, that's where I go. But it's the understanding. This is where we could spend forever talking about, is trying to understand why people do what people do. And that is madness.
Yep.
I don't think that's why I don't believe in a good and evil. I don't believe there's such thing as good and evil. I think it comes down to the individuals.
I don't think there's good and evil either.
Exactly. There is no universal good or evil. You zoom out of. From
I the, also really don't believe in karma or anything like that.
No, I don't either. I think there's a weird manifesting kind of thing, because I think the willpower of a human being is...
I think that if you have good energy, you are going to react to things with good energy.
Exactly.
But I don't think that that's necessary. Like, I think a lot of people are like, if you put it out, you're going to get it back. And I think that that's just kind of like existence.
I think we do it to ourselves.
I think because if you
think, oh, I did something bad's going to happen, something bad will happen.
Oh,
because you're looking for
it,
now
yeah, exactly.
the bad
that's
thing.
What I mean. You're just, it's like pattern recognition.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm on the same boat with you. I don't believe in that. I think the human mind is just powerful enough that if you ask to go see a sign, you're going to see a sign.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where I go. I've fallen out of, I would say I'm not atheist, I'm not religious. I found a very neutral stance in it where I just go, I don't know.
Of course.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you if they're...
Agnosticism.
Sure. Yep. Like I could say sure. It's more of like, I don't know. I mean, I think that there is some great universal force. You could call it God. You could call it whatever. I just think we have no idea what it is.
Nope.
At all. Yep. At all. We just make up things. And I think people search for comfort because they want an answer. They desire an answer to know that their life has some kind of meaning. What if it doesn't?
Yeah.
Can you find happiness in that? I can. Like, I can just find happiness. If existing was all it was, it's just us to exist, make it beautiful at least. Or answer your personal questions. Like, for me, like, we always talk about my personal question of joining the Marine Corps, being in the infantry, never seeing combat, and just the desire to always want to know, fucking, would I be able to do my job when the first shot goes off?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a question that's put into me, and I hope that I answer that question somewhere in life. Personally, hey, World War, dude, I'll answer that question a lot sooner than I think. And I probably won't survive that war because, fuck.
You're going to be too old.
Huh?
You're going to be too old here soon.
What are you talking about? They upped the enlistment age in the Army to 42.
I know, but...
Fuck no. I could go to an International Legion easy.
No, you could. I'm just joking.
Yeah,
I'm
easy, just joking. Dude. But if the U.S. military wouldn't take me back in a fucking world war, fuck it, dude. I would, yeah. There are plenty of foreign legions that, fuck it, have amazing operators that come from the SAS and fucking SEALs, dude. I'd fucking, fuck it. Man. Go get blown up by an FPV drone, but shit, dog. I probably would have one of the most interesting thought processes before I died. Like... Who knows? And who knows? Then I'd have the great question that we're all wondering. I just answered a little bit sooner.
Yep.
What's behind the fucking door when we die? I mean, I don't fear death. I mean, it's going to happen. Any one of us. I mean, through fucking medical, car crash, whatever. You're going to die.
Yeah.
I'd rather just die on my own terms, searching for something.
Sure.
I mean, I guess, yeah. Even exploring, dude. I'd be cool dying in Antarctica. If I was exploring some unknown region, dude, just to be the first person to say I laid eyes on it and died during it, fuck it.
Yeah, that would be born too late to explore the Earth, born too early to explore the universe.
Yeah, and so like exactly, we're in such a weird time for humanity.
Yes.
We're in, and also really cool.
Just pay attention because...
Imagine the singularity if that does happen.
I'm telling you, just pay attention because what you're seeing right now is going to be in the history books, man. This is a monumental moment.
So I guess I would ask you, what do you think the next stages are if you were to predict? Because, dude, I got to be honest. I mean, I remember talking to you and you talking like I'd hit the tongue twister.
Desalinization place.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Turning salt water into drinkable
exactly.
water.
Exactly. I mean, you called that off the bat, dude. Yep. I mean, I'd ask you, what do you think? What do you think the next stages are going to happen of how the cards are being played right now?
I think the strikes are going to continue to escalate. I think the U.S. is going to be put basically into a position where they're going to need Israel to join back into the war because they're not. And we can't suppress Iran's missile launching capabilities. So we're taking very, very serious hits. We're losing high level expensive assets. People are dying. And so something's going to have to change. And I just don't think the U.S. and Trump is in a position where we can back off. If we back off, we're basically giving a huge amount of breathing space to China, which can't happen right now. We really need to continue putting the pressure on them if we want to stay ahead. And you might say, well, why can't we just drift back into like a secondary world power position? And I would agree with you, but that's not what the leadership wants right now from that. It's hegemony or nothing, right? We are going to remain an empire because that's what the people at the top deem is the most required.
We're going to be an empire, die an empire kind of thing.
So I think what you're going to see right now is the U.S. go really, really full bore on Iran, try to, again, force regime change. You'll probably see some incursion by the Kurds. I think that there is a very real possibility that they're going to try to put boots on the ground, U.S. boots, because U.S. soldiers are already dying, so it doesn't matter anymore. Put boots on the ground in southern Iran, try to control southern Iran and the Straits of Hormuz. And then just shut off the oil to China. That's why they're also really helping Ukraine with their strike campaign against Russian oil refineries inside of Russia to shut down the flow of oil to China. really, really put a heavy crimp on that market and forced China to either basically make a move or subject themselves to it. And the U.S. is always looking for another nation to subject themselves.
Yeah.
That's always the, do you go to war with the United States like Iran is doing right now, which is not good for Iran.
No.
It might be good for them in the long run if they win out and they're able to sustain and they can come back and rejoin the market. And
Do you think they're going to withstand?
I think we are going to do a ton of damage. I think that we just don't have an option, but I don't think we have the capabilities to defeat them. And so I think we're
Putting boots on the ground and really going in.
And so I think what we're going to try to do is basically just turn it into fucking Libya. I think we're going to try to turn it into this just destroyed, failed state where they can't build anything because we've destroyed it all.
Yeah, but then you just run into the problem. You're always going to have to deal with them. Because it's just like in Lebanon,
This is not thought through,
yeah.
Zach. You're dealing with people who really like to start things and not have any plan to finish them. That's who you're dealing with. That's how it was in Iraq. We went in and we fucked up Saddam. We went in and we fucked up the Iraqi military, right? They had no chance. They were a decade into a war.
Wearing Darth Vader helmets.
It was bad. And we romped them.
Yeah.
Right? That's just not how it is anymore. It's just not.
See, I kind of almost feel stupid when I talk because, dude, I feel like everything's always so rapidly changing. Like, do I even know what I'm talking about anymore? Is it always? You're a very informed guy. You're very, especially when it comes to war, military, and politics, dude. You stay up with that. Like, I could not, dude. It would just drive me crazy constantly always reading that shit because I'd be like, it feels like Idiocracy, dude.
It is. You're watching the stupidest, greediest, nepo baby liars make decisions for you that impact your life and have never one time been beneficial.
What happened to great people? What happened to, like, great men rising
up? What do they always say?
Like, it's from Africa.
Yeah, what do they always say?
I got that in an Ethiopian market, bro. And they didn't think I was going to be able to get it back to the States.
It's for hand cutting, dude.
Dude, honestly,
it's got a bit of an edge on it.
If I sharpened that thing, dude, it'd probably be fucking great. I've never sharpened that thing. I mean,
imagine fighting somebody with this thing, dude. Imagine somebody else fighting you and just getting your, like, knuckle
dude,
cut.
For real. That means one slip, dude, and just right into the hand. Your hand is now like a V.
It's probably ceremonial, but
it was.
But what was I gonna say?
I love it, dude. I mean,
You're just watching the stupidest nepo baby. What happened to all the great men?
That's the thing. No one seems to be rising.
You know what the saying is.
Oh, you're talking about the hard times? Oh, yeah.
You know,
say it. Go ahead. Say it.
It's just hard times create strong men. Strong men create soft times. Soft times create weak men. Weak men create hard times.
Yeah, it's just a cycle.
Yep. And we are in the weak men phase of our empire. We are in the...
Yeah, I am realizing that.
What you're watching is the Nero. You're watching the ridiculous. You're ridiculous end phases.
Nero was a Roman emperor, for those that didn't know.
The ridiculous phases of the end of the Roman Empire where the emperors were going crazy because they were
a lot
never.
Of killing of each other. A lot
they
of,
were never brought up with any leadership. They were never brought up with any.
They passed the days of like Marcus Aurelius.
Yeah, exactly. It was just passed down to the next person.
Love Marcus Aurelius. I could learn more and more about Marcus Aurelius. Like just his journals. His diaries,
but that's how I see Trump, and I'm not even like
Just go ahead, man. I mean, that's the thing. This podcast will always be a free place. Say what?
Oh no! Want. I don't care.
Come at me!
I
take away my freedom. I dare you.
I hate Trump, but I also don't want to sound like I hate him for a very specific reason.
One,
he lies, but he specifically lied in his campaign to the American people about not starting another war. And he started...
That was a big piece of his campaign.
Yes, that's why he won. he got a lot of the swing
states. No more new wars.
Yes, no new wars.
No new wars.
And then he was like, oh, well, what I actually said was no new forever wars. And what he actually meant was, I'm going to fight whatever fucking war I want to fight, and we're going to do it anyway. And so that particularly, if he got in there and he had said, yeah, I'm going to bomb Iran.
Yeah.
The second I get in there, I'm going to bomb Iran.
And everybody, still won? Then fuck it, yeah, at the end of the day.
Yeah, and that's what we want. But no, he lied, and everybody voted for him based off of a lie. And then he got us into the most disastrous war that the U.S. has ever gotten itself involved in.
Yes.
Way more disastrous than Vietnam.
Afghanistan, all of that.
Way worse. I mean, the thing about Vietnam, the thing about Afghanistan, the thing about Iraq, which we're still in, is that we won those wars relatively quick. Vietnam, you know, the North was still strong, but it was like a million North Vietnamese died. Like, it was, they were getting hammered, and it was, the U.S. just had no reason to stay. No. That's the same with Afghanistan. The U.S.
That war was just body count. It was literally just for body count.
Well, the war was, I mean, it was like, it was like this protracted.
More saying how it was fought.
Well, yeah, how it became. Yeah, what it became was talking about the casualties, but it was just
search and destroy.
It was a defeat, but not a defeat in this strategic sense. It was a defeat in Vietnam, but the goals of what they were trying to do in Vietnam were more or less accomplished. The prevention of the spread of communism. South Vietnam did become communist, but all of Southeast Asia did not fall.
Right.
Whatever, and you can make whatever arguments about the actual effectiveness and if that was actually happening, but
it was a proxy. No, well, I guess it wasn't a proxy war because we were at least
at one point looking considerably. It was a proxy war for China. Yeah, we were looking considerably strong in Vietnam at certain points. Mm-hmm. The thing about it was just a war that really could not have been won. The thing about Iran is we have not looked good at any one point throughout this entire campaign. We have not been able to suppress their air defenses. We have not been able to control their skies. We have not been able
to protect the neighboring countries at all. They're all getting hit.
Yeah, we haven't been able to suppress their weapons. So what is happening is you're watching really the degradation of the U.S. strategic, first off, position, and second, it's bravado. It's look. China's looking at this and going, shh, they can't even deal with Iran.
It's like us looking at Russia when the fucking Ukraine, bro.
Iran is, if you take Iran and put it over China, it's like 1/8 of China.
No, yeah.
How are you going to do anything against China? No, how are you ever going to suppress mobile missile launchers in China?
It's very much, dude, with Russia and Ukraine, how we look at Russia. Now we're like, dude, Russia's military? Like, they couldn't even.
But the only difference is, Ukraine was a
near peer, huh?
Well, it was a limited operation with a small amount of troops that was really a police operation at the beginning. It was an SMO. It's still an SMO. It's a war now, but in the beginning, it was really a
special military.
They were just going. They were just going in to basically get either a negotiated settlement or a quick regime change.
Yeah,
it wasn't supposed to be this protracted fucking slaughter fest. That's not what it was supposed to be. Like, a million Ukrainians were not supposed to go into the grinder for this war. That was not the Russian intention. And the thing about the war is, this war would not be going on if Ukraine wasn't fully backed by NATO and the United States in their logistics, in their intel. They're paying the checks of every Ukrainian soldier on the ground.
And none of this would happen if NATO would have let Russia at the table in the 90s.
Exactly.
Bro.
And this is part of it is that's not the same thing that's happening with Iran.
No.
Iran is its own nation that is not being supported externally outside of minor Chinese and Russian.
Their weapon capability is near peer.
With the United States?
Yeah.
No. Well, no. Their Air Force is nothing. It's non-existent. They just have a specific capability that is specifically difficult for the United States to suppress, and it is specifically chosen for its ability to target U.S. weaknesses. So this is like, you can't take off and strike Iran if your air bases are fucked up. So they fucked up all the air bases in Jordan. They fucked up the U.S. 5th Fleet headquarters in Bahrain. It's uninhabitable. You can't go to the U.S. 5th Fleet headquarters anymore.
Yeah.
It's just rubble. It's just, I mean, every building has been hit at this point. It's they're going to just close it, like, I imagine. I don't think they're going to reopen it. And so now, you know, the U.S. aircraft are being pushed further and further back operationally. That means your logistics, your refueling aircraft are it's a lot more intensive, and we don't have the ability to sustain it. So the Iranians looked at our weaknesses and said, as long as we can survive their air campaign, we have 90 million people. They're not going to put boots on the ground. That's a war they cannot win, right? As long as the people are still on the side of the government, which they are now.
Probably, yeah, and, even more so.
Oh, way more so. More so. Way more so. Way more so. And on top of that, the Iranians have a specific weapon system, the ballistic missile, and they hide them in these cities and mountains that we can't destroy. We can sometimes knock out the entrances, but they just open them back up. They're like little ants.
Yeah, exactly.
And they have chosen this because they looked at it strategically and said, if we can close the Strait of Hormuz, if we can hit these sensitive locations with ballistic missiles and use that as leverage, we do not need to have $1 trillion a year military to defeat $1 trillion a year military. You just have to have the right blade to get through the armor, right? It doesn't have to be a big blade. It just has to get through, right? And they got that blade, and that's those ballistic missiles.
I love that analogy.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. And it's how a much weaker opponent defeats a superior army time and time again. How did the Americans beat the British?
Yeah.
They made it not worth it. Yeah. They made it not worth it. Guerrilla warfare, man. Americans were not winning the war in terms of casualty count.
You even look at Vietnam, dude. How did the Viet Cong fight against us? I was just about to say this.
They used the terrain to their advantage to minimize their technological deficiencies.
Exactly, dude.
They don't have the bombing capabilities that the U.S. has, but it's really hard to know what you're bombing when everything's just jungle mountains.
Yeah. And the tunnels underground.
Exactly.
They had it all. I mean, fuck. Could you imagine being a tunnel rat?
Could you imagine falling in a punji trap? At least
covered in
at
shit,
least,
bro.
At least when you're a tunnel rat, you have a gun and at least it's like a little bit on you. You just fall into a pit and
all these spikes covered in shit, bro.
Go through your leg and now you're just dying in the jungle
of infection. Yeah, and just all sorts.
Yeah, so
it's fucking madness. We're so good at killing each other.
So we are reaching this point with the United States where we are going to lose our number one spot, and it is going to be traumatic for the American people, because we've lived in this sort of bubble.
Since like World War II, bro.
We've had this bubble of perfectionism around us.
When do you think we hit our peak? When do you think was the peak of the U.S.?
Probably 80s.
Yeah.
70s, 80s, I think, was probably when we were the absolute strongest. In terms of when we were unmatched, the 90s.
Yeah, the peak.
The 90s. But that's just because the Soviet Union stopped. Mm. They were like with us, sort of. I feel like it was always overstated how strong the Soviet Union was. It was just a reason for us to be crazy.
Yeah, exactly. But, well, you need a big
bad. We were up here ahead of them, and then they stopped, and we were like up here, and there's just nobody else in our ecosystem.
Yeah.
We were apex. And now that has faded because we didn't have a boogeyman. We had these stupid war on terror campaigns that destroyed our military in terms of our strategic capabilities. Because strategic capabilities are hella expensive.
Yeah.
Maintaining bombers and ICBMs.
Keeping ammo to the front.
I mean,
I'm just throwing out logistics stuff.
Yeah, like, just, I mean, aircraft maintenance, aircraft carrier maintenance, all this stuff is crazy. And so you have a more hyper-specialized military that's just as expensive somehow, but cheaper, if that makes sense. Like, everything got
not
more...
Not really, every, but what makes sense anymore?
Everything in our military-industrial complex got more expensive. So the military
also just went through budget, labor, huh? Just greed and labor costs.
So, yeah, basically. So like if you look at like our what our military does, it's not as good as it was in the 90s. It's hyper specified for surviving IED blasts and stuff and AK-47 rounds, right? Yeah. Because that's the wars we're fighting, is against people that don't have armor, right?
Yeah, but that's gonna change.
So exactly, but now our whole military is designed for that style of fighting. Right, that's what our infantry is designed for. Is for these war on terror campaigns.
I'd say not more or less
combined arms military conflict.
I don't know. See that it's
it's not.
No, but I'd say I was in during an interesting time because I mean more or less I was a peacetime Marine.
Yes.
Right.
You're a war on terror Marine.
Well, technically, I do have my global war.
But not in that
I was a peacetime Marine.
That's what your training is though. War on terror. It's
it was actually, that's what I was getting to. We actually, a lot of our training exercises were more or less simulating China. We went out into whenever we did big joint operations, we would have the Royal Marines with us or even like Australia. But
all of your equipment, all of the vehicles we're producing. Yeah, it's not for China.
No. Exactly. Our scenarios have switched.
Yeah, you want to be prepared for China, but the military is a decade away from being, and that's if we start overhauling.
Start fighting actual, basically same tier grade weapons, armor,
preparing.
Everything.
Because we were preparing for the Soviet Union, and they had technological advancements that we were trying to counter in battle.
Right.
Right? They had great tanks.
And now you're fighting guerrilla warfare guys.
The cartel have fucking drones that are killing like military. It's like, oh, everybody has a drone now. It's not just the US who has a Reaper drone. Everybody has strike drones.
And they're cheap. That's the wild thing. Yeah. They're cheap and you chock full of them of just C4, any kind of explosive. Like actual time.
Yeah, I have to get out of here at like 1.
Oh, it's 12:46, and then we'll wrap up, right? Yeah. We'll just wrap it up and, I mean, drones are cheap, full expensive, because we always joke, because I mean, our lives, technically, so a U.S. Marine infantryman, if you died in combat, your family would get sent $400,000.
Yeah.
Your life. So just imagine being able to make a $1,000 drone and you're basically taking $400,000.
Well, it's not even that.
$1 million tanks.
Well, not even that. No, think of it just from the infantry standpoint. A Marine is a multi-million dollar investment.
Yeah.
An individual Marine, especially a higher level brigade.
We're talking MARSOC.
No. An average level Marine, I think, is like $1.1 million worth of training and the time and everything.
I didn't realize I was worth that much.
Yeah. So,
hey.
Yeah. So, when
cool.
you die, it's a bigger deal than you think. And the equipment and everything. And,
I mean, dang. Because I know we definitely joked about it. We were always like, our life is worth $400,000.
That's the payout. But that's not the payout.
Well, that's what we consider because they're paying. This is compensation for the life.
But that's not their investment.
No, that is true. Yeah. I mean, that's why we always say it's actually a lot harder to get out of the military than you would think.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because even
we
even had dudes, I mean, pop on drug tests where they would go through and then eventually be retained still because it was just like, we have 3 years of training in this guy. Like, we're going to get or you would have where they got strung along where they'd be like, they put their basically court dates further and further and keep pushing them back and just have the guy basically finish his contract and then just kick him out.
Yeah.
They get their money's worth of you. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They'll make sure. Yeah, we had a dude that was in limbo. I think he even stayed in like basically an extra year because he was in limbo for like a drug case.
Couldn't get like his DD-14 or whatever.
Yeah, no, he was in limbo. They kept like saying, oh yeah, your case is still being processed and stuff. And they kept him like another year. And like
That's
all
crazy.
They got out of this dude was like working parties. He was doing all the bitch work.
Yeah,
bro.
Sweeping. Yeah, lots of sweeping.
All the bitch work. Where dude going to the motor pool and fucking shifting through trash and brass and like I mean dude they will which is it's a wild thing dude when you start slowly getting out and you start looking at the bigger picture, which is I'm personally doing right now. I mean, I would say my last 2 years of life have been nothing but madness in my mind because of diving into philosophy, trying to understand humanity more, looking at wars, and now with not just this marine fucking rah-rah, give me a gun and shoot things kind of mindset, bro. Like, it, like going, why? I'm just asking why on everything. That is my life right now. Just asking why on fucking everything, and it's madness, and I probably sound fucking retarded when I talk sometimes.
No, you're good, bro.
Oh, no, he's just realizing. I'm self-aware of it. I guess I'm just self-aware of it because it's just like, dude, I barely know what I'm talking about. I'm just trying to figure it out with all of you guys. Like, yeah. Shit. You, I just love because, yeah, you're very informed. And I you know what? You make me want to drive to be more informed. So I do sound a little more intelligent when I talk. But, dude, I appreciate it, dude. I say this is solid. I mean, a little grim episode, more talking about wars.
I like being grim, dude.
I mean, it needs to be talked about. How are things supposed to change, or how are people supposed to have realizations to do things differently?
Yeah, I've never been a blissfully ignorant person.
No.
I could never do that.
No. I mean, I remember, even going back to our first episode, we're just like, dude, I'd take a consciously ignorant person over just like an ignorant is like stupid kind of, like, yeah. You know, those people that are just like oblivious.
Yeah.
I'll take someone that looked around and just said, fuck it, I'd rather live not. In stupidity. Yeah. Like, yeah. I'd rather live in stupidity. But then I guess in that point, you'd have to understand, you choose that way, the consequences of that is going to be a fall of society.
Yep.
Society will eventually just slowly...
Or not even a fall of society, but just a false society. Mm-hmm. One that is not appropriate, yeah. Right? You just...
It's full of little gremlins.
It's just...
jerking off to screens.
It's not what you want to live in.
No.
And
but wouldn't you say we're kind of in those eras right now? Because you're having so many questioning. I mean, you having young men and women have no hope in today's worlds. You have people that literally their whole life is gooning to a fucking OnlyFans screen.
Yeah,
or porn. I'd say even that, I've realized, I mean, dude, I watch porn as much as the next person, I would say. Maybe even a little bit more because, dude, being a single guy, you just get a nut off, dude, look at some nice titties. Like, yeah, I get it. But, dude, even that, I was realizing, dude, what that, like, turns me into. I become such a little fucking sexual gremlin. Yep.
It's like targeted manipulation.
Yeah.
Like it, your brain wants it.
Exactly.
And it gives you that release, that dopamine release, right? Every time you do it, whatever it is, eating, whatever it is, gambling, and it's just like targeted and it just works and it just wants, and you want to stay.
You're starting to realize actually how much it takes to have a strong mind.
Oh, yeah.
To become an actual great
person. To be disciplined. Is
not even in insanely discipline difficult. Is a huge thing too.
Disciplined in it, I don't mean that in a
like even in like I mean, a gym I mean, way or I
mean
anything
in,
like that.
I mean it in an addiction
yeah.
way.
No, yeah.
Being disciplined.
Exactly.
And not
being able to realize,
something.
Oh, hey, I need to this is too much for me.
Yeah.
Like I need to like if I want to be great or I want to strive for something, or I have people even look and go, dude, what is he doing?
Yeah.
I mean it does. I always love the saying, it was weak men. Oh, dude, I'll pull it up real quick because it is exactly what we're talking about in a sense of what people really don't realize when it comes down to discipline and how to actually get in a way get there. Man, what was it? It was so good too. It was like basically, if I can't find it right now, I'm not gonna waste too much time on it, because here's actually a really good one. You will lose friends, you will lose lovers, you will lose comfort. If losing them you find yourself, you have gained more than kings. That's just a cool one, but I cannot find it.
Hits you with a random quote.
Yeah, I'm just hitting you with a random quote. You'd probably actually like this. If you kill a cockroach, you are a hero. If you kill a butterfly, you are evil. Morals have aesthetic criteria. Yep.
That's a good one.
Dude, I mean, which is so fucking, dude, I have...
You want to leave it on that one?
No. I'm going to look one more, because it was great, because it was so perfect. Either way, I'll just sum it up, because I'm not going to be able to find it. It was basically saying, the weak man thinks the strong man has it lucky, because the weak man always arrives at the reward, never at the sacrifice.
Yeah.
Because they only ever see the strong man getting the reward. They never see anything. It basically sums it up. Like, if you do want to achieve, you have to go for it. You can't sit around and think it's going to come for you. You can't. You have to strive for it. Build your brain. Your brain is a muscle. Work it out. I mean, yeah. Individual stuff, I guess, yeah. We'll leave it at that. Was last minute note? Any last minute on nope. Iran or anything like that?
Nope. Thanks for having me. The only thing is just expect that gas to get more expensive. Yeah, unfortunately. Unfortunately. Sorry, folks.
I will leave it on this quote. I have no special talents. I'm only passionately curious. That was Albert Einstein, people. I hope you all fucking have a great time. Until next time.
Later. Until next time.